Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Camtek's third quarter 2015 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you've not received it, please contact Camtek Investor Relations team at GK Investor Relations or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.camtek.co.il. I'll now hand the call over to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, please begin.
Thank you, and good day to all of you. I would like to welcome all of you to Camtek's third quarter 2015 results conference call, and I would like also to thank Camtek's management for hosting this call. With us today on the line are Mr. Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Moshe Eisenberg, Camtek's CFO. Rafi will provide an overview of Camtek's strategy going forward. Moshe will discuss some of the recent developments and summarize the financial results in the third quarter. We'll then open the call to take your questions. Before we begin, I'd like to remind our listeners that certain information provided on this call are internal company estimates unless otherwise specified. This call also may contain forward-looking statements. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Statements on this call are made as of today, and the company undertakes no obligation to update any of these forward-looking statements contained, whether as a result of new information, future events, changes in expectations, or otherwise. Investors are reminded that actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for services and products, the timely development of new services and products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to other risks identified in the company's filing with the SEC. Please note that the safe harbor statement in today's press release also covers the content of this conference call. In addition, during this call, certain non-GAAP information will be discussed. These are used by management to make specific decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes that the presentation of non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing operations and prospects for the future. A full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures is included in today's earnings release. I would like now to hand over the call to Mr. Rafi Amit, Camtek Chairman and CEO. Rafi, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Ehud. Hello to everyone, and thanks for joining us today. We are very pleased with our results on both the top and bottom line, as well as the cash flow. Our revenues grew 17% over those of last year to $26.3 million, the highest level of revenue in a quarter for over 4 years. Our operating income was $1.9 million, a 72% increase over the third quarter of last year, with operating margin at 7.1%. In addition, we generated $5.4 million of cash from operating activities. These results were driven by strong semiconductor sales, in particular solutions to the advanced packaging market, as well as CMOS image sensor and MEMS sectors. In this business, over the past few months, we have had a number of successful penetrations with our Eagle System into customers to which we have never sold systems in the past. Despite what we are hearing from with regard to general equipment spending, at this point, we see the advanced packaging part of the semiconductor space continuing its strong growth and ongoing and increasing demand. In the PCB market, the AOI business remains stable, and our focus on the high-end customers positions us as a leading supplier in this segment. We see our digital printing technology as a future driver of growth with significant potential in this business. Looking ahead, we expect a strong fourth quarter similar to the third quarter, and we are well on target to ending 2015 with around $100 million in revenue and a 20% growth in our semi business as we projected at the beginning of the year. Moving into more detail on our semiconductor inspection and metrology business, sales in Q3 expanded for four quarters in a row. The growth this year is evident in all our major market segments: the advanced packaging, CMOS image sensor, and MEMS. During the last quarter, we experienced strong demand in Taiwan and China. As we discussed last quarter, the trend to bump wafers instead of wire bonding is increasing and accelerating. During the third quarter, we penetrated and installed systems at two new significant accounts, and we expect to generate substantial business from these accounts in 2016. Our R&D team invests a lot of efforts into expanding the capabilities of the Eagle family and to support our customers with special features that can help them meet customers' requirements. In order to meet the growing demand for our system, market requests for shorter lead time and specific customers' features, we have doubled our clean room space in our facility in Israel. While we are seeing CapEx cuts with some of the major industry players at this point, our market segments are less sensitive. We believe that the specific segments in which we are the major player, in particular the advanced packaging segment, will continue to grow on an absolute basis as well as overall portion of wafer fabrication equipment spending. We are currently working hard to build and deliver customized Eagle system for key strategic and important leading semiconductor manufacturers. The customization process extends the typical build time for an Eagle, so some of these orders take longer than usual to ship and are lined up for installations in the first quarter of 2016. Our expected fourth quarter sales are in line with what we did in the third quarter. 2015 has indeed turned out to be a very strong year for semiconductor sales, and as I said earlier, we expect to close the year with a 20% growth in our semiconductor business. Regarding the AOI business for the PCB market, in general, specifically in the IC substrate segment, our high-end customers are investing a lot of efforts in new technologies for advanced IC carrier and embedded IC. We are supporting the R&D efforts of our customers with 2D and 3D integrated AOI and new features. During Q3, over 50% of our business came from five customers from the top 10 PCB manufacturers. As part of our ongoing penetration efforts of the Gryphon, we have made some organizational changes to the structure of our AOI and digital printing business. We've integrated the two product lines, inspection and digital printing, under one business unit. Amir Tzfori, who currently leads the PCB division, will be the head of this merged business unit. Each product line has its own R&D and operation teams, but the sales, marketing, and management are run by the same team. We believe that this change will improve the communication between the field and R&D. Hence, the field will get quick solutions and Griffon will fit most of the customer requirements more effectively. Our strong market position among the high end of PCB market opens many doors for the Griffon. The close relationship with our AOI customers are a key factor in enabling us to bring the Griffon to the market. We currently have 4 systems at customers, one of which is now being used actively in production and shipping finished products with printed solder mask and legend to their customers. And the rest are under evaluation process. We are collecting ongoing feedback from these 4 customers and the end user of these customers. The comments we have collected so far led us to allocate all the resources to meet these particular customers and their end user requirements before we continue to approach new customers. We expect this process to take several months, and as a result, we now do not expect sales of Griffon before the second half of 2016. This doesn't change our confidence in our digital printing technology, which we see as a revolutionary and disruptive technology. With that, I would like to hand over to Moshe for a more detailed discussion of the financial results of the quarter. Moshe?
Thank you, Rafi. As Rafi mentioned, we are very pleased with the financial results of the third quarter, which were ahead of our expectations. Third quarter revenues came at $26.3 million. Revenues were 17% above those of the third quarter last year and 4% over those of the previous quarter. This is the fourth quarter of consecutive growth and our highest quarterly revenue in 4 years. Revenues from sales and services to the semiconductor industry in the third quarter were $18.8 million, representing 71% of our total revenues. Third quarter revenues from sales and services to the PCB market were $7.5 million, representing 29% of our total revenues in the quarter. The geographic revenue split for the quarter was as follows. China was the strongest region during the quarter, representing approximately 37% of overall revenues. Taiwan was 26%. U.S. sales were 13%. Korea was 10%. Asia, excluding China, Taiwan, and Korea, was 9%. European sales were 5%. Unless otherwise stated, I will summarize the rest of the results on a non-GAAP basis. The reconciliation between the GAAP and non-GAAP results appear in the tables at the end of the press release issued earlier today. Gross profit for the quarter was $11.8 million, representing a gross margin of 44.9%. This is compared with a gross profit of $10 million, representing margin of 44% in the third quarter of last year. Operating expenses in the quarter were $9.9 million. This is compared with $8.8 million in the third quarter of last year. Operating profit in the quarter was $1.9 million, an increase of 64% over the $1.1 million reported in the third quarter of last year. Operating margin was 7.1% versus 5.1% in the third quarter last year. Net income for the third quarter of 2015 was $1.2 million or 3 cents per diluted share. This is compared to a net income of $948,000 or 3 cents per share in the third quarter of last year, a net income of $825,000 or 3 cents per share in the previous quarter. Cash, cash equivalents, short and long-term deposits as of September 30, 2015, were $37.1 $1.6 million, out of which $7.9 million were restricted deposits, compared to $32.1 million as of June 30, 2015. The main reason for the increase in cash was the positive operating cash flow, which amounted to $5.4 million during the quarter. Collection from customers was strong, and despite the growth in revenues over the last quarter, the account receivables balance has dropped by $6.7 million during the quarter. As a result, our DSO has also dropped to 88 days. For the fourth quarter of 2015, we expect revenues in the range of $25 to $26.5 million. We will now open the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your question. The first question is from Eden Mock of Needham. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks for taking my question, and congrats for a great quarter. So first, just kind of focus on the semi space. Looks like you guys are doing quite well, and I think you mentioned on prepared remarks that there are two new accounts that you penetrated, right? Are those accounts contributing revenue yet, or am I understanding correctly that's more a driver for 2016?
You talk about the two new customers?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely they contribute to revenue, okay? But we expect, you know, sometimes they develop a new concept, a new technology, they use the first machine for running this technology, and later on they ramp up and they need more machines. So we expect in 2016 to see more business from these two customers.
I see. Okay, great. Thanks for clarifying that. In terms of kind of the market condition, as you mentioned, there's some kind of concern about weaker spending in the coming quarters. And I think you mentioned that advanced packaging, you're seeing strong demand there. Is that where you can kind of quantify how much of your business now is advanced packaging versus CMOS image versus MEMS?
Look, I would say right now, in general, it is about over 50% go to what we call bump wafer / advanced packaging, and about 50% goes to more to CMOS image sensor, MEMS, and other 2D applications, roughly.
I see. So it's roughly around 50-50. Great. I think your competitor announced a new product recently, or at least in the last few months. I was wondering, have you seen any kind of competitive change in the competitive dynamics on that market? And what kind of feedback have you seen from customers since that announcement?
Sorry, what is the question?
The question is, have you seen any change in the competitive dynamics? And since competitor announced a new product, have you seen any change?
No. Look, first, I can't tell you that we see any changes. Look, in general, we just can tell you that sometimes to pass qualification and to fit a system to customer can take even a year. You start with the R&D process, they make a lot of improvement until the technology becomes mature and you follow with more feature, new feature. So R&D support this process. So I can't believe that any competitor with new device can immediately risk our market share or our business. Definitely, it takes time, and on the same, and in parallel, we also do a lot of changes and improving our system. So this is the life. So right now, we feel very comfortable with our position, let's say. We believe we can maintain, definitely, at least maintain our market share. In some cases, we believe we can increase our market share.
Okay, that's helpful. And then on the Griffin side, you mentioned you have four systems in store right now. Are all four of them Griffin SL? Are they, if the customer already moved all of them to Griffin SL? And then just a follow-up question around that. You mentioned that you guys are taking taking this process of using customer feedback to improve the system, basically. That's my understanding of it, right? Do you expect to do retrofit on those four systems, or are these feedback require you to go back and have a new system that you have to replace at those four customers?
I would say it's very depending on customer. What we found, actually, we selected customers that represent some segment, like prototype segment, like HDI segment. So we selected the customer to get and collect more feedback depending on the segment that this specific customer is very strong. And we found that there are so many demands, and this industry doesn't really work on one standard. There are many standards, and this is not only related to our direct customer, because every each of our direct customer has hundreds of end user customers, and all these customers also comes with special demands. So when you collect all these, this is many demands. Now, Camtek is a very respectable company. We first of all, we want to be sure that our direct customers are happy and enjoy the system. So we have to fulfill their demand and their end user demand, and it takes time. And we right now would like to focus on this four customer with end user. And when we feel comfortable that we answer to most of their demand, we can later on continue and accelerating the sales efforts. So by the end of the road, I assume that all these four customers definitely will take the machine, will use it effectively, enjoy it. But as I mentioned before, it takes time, and we have patience to do it.
I see. And these customers has all been converted to Griffin SL, the two-color machine?
Yeah, definitely. All of them use it as they insist of using the two colors, definitely.
I see. So as a result, you didn't have any revenue from the single-color machine, right? Because you did basically they were replaced with the two-color machine.
No.
I see. Okay, great. One last question, just kind of on the financial side. How do you think about OpEx as we go into the fourth quarter and go into the next year? In terms of gross margin, are we kind of looking at similar margin range in the mid-40s?
Yeah, at least, looking into the fourth quarter, we are seeing pretty much the same gross margin profile as it was in the third quarter. With respect to operating expenses, we expect it to be same or slightly below those of the third quarter. Thus, we may improve profitability on the revenue in Q4.
Great. That's all I have. Thank you.
The next question is from Craig Ellis of B. Riley. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking the question, and nice job on the quarter and with the cash management, guys. Rafi, the first question for you, and just following up on some of the discussion on Griffin, given what you're seeing with the trials at the four customers, how does the data collection impact your views on product evolution over time? Is it likely that we'll see other configurations of the product or perhaps different modules or optimizations for different types of customers?
Okay, I would say in general, in each customer, different story. One customer would like to have a special profile on the solder mask, and we have to develop a special algorithm for his own demand, especially when we believe that such demand will be requested by other customers. Just one example. Another customer, for example, can design a panel with any type of PC board. And the way how these PC boards are placed in this panel are not standard or it's not predicted. So you need to manage alignment and how to organize it. So we can see more and more, I would say, demand that tech resources to answer for all this demand, and it takes time. But I believe that by the end of the day, we will cover most of the demand, and then we can expand our market, potential market, and accelerate the revenue. So we prefer right now to use most of our resources on this floor. We have more customers that push us to install our systems, but we are not sure if we can support in parallel so many customer and requirements. So we try to fit our resources to the amount of demand in the market. So our sales force and our technical people fitting in the customer, working with the customer, collecting data. We have every day conference call with the R&D, transferring the data, give priority. This is the way how we manage this process.
That's very helpful color. And is it fair to say from your comments then that some of the optimizations will be in software while some may be in hardware?
I'm not sure if I understand your question correctly.
Oh, as you work to customize the product for customers, it sounds like some of the customization is software-based relating to algorithms that may be specific to their workflow. It wasn't as clear to me if some of the optimizations would be hardware in nature.
Would be what?
Hardware-specific.
No, I would say most, in general, we have, I would say, I can divide it. We talk all the time about machine, material, the ink, and the process. Okay, like three elements in these technologies. So sometimes we have to adapt our process to the customer, depending how the customer prepare his surface before the panels come to us. And we can improve it by having a special treatment that can make the printing doable. Other customer maybe need a special alignment or a special algorithm to go between line and to fit in certain height. So in this case, we have to increase accuracy, we have to play with algorithm. Other customer would like to see some glossy appearance and not matte appearance. So it's again, some of these are algorithm. So there are many parameter and many demands that are, but I would say in general, most of them probably, this is the type of the industry. Many customer, many requirement, customer used to see something, they would like to see the same with our technology, and we try to make it as possible similar to what they used to see. So I don't think it's a matter of changing part or doing. It's more calibration, it's software, sometimes it's maybe playing with the formula a little bit, viscosity less or more, so using better to change the pixel size, to increase the resolution. But most of it is not hardware issue. It's more of software, algorithm, calibration, formula of ink, additional or adding some changing the concentration of the process. This is the area. The machine in general can meet most of the demand. We can improve accuracy. We can improve in our before we ship the machine. This is not the big issue. So we don't see any risk of the machines or to redesign it. This is not the point.
That makes sense. The follow-up question is back to the comments on the secular shift towards advanced packaging from wire bonding. Was the point there that you're seeing a steady tailwind from that dynamic as you look at the back half of the year and into 16, or was the point more that there's an inflection with more help coming from that secular shift as you look ahead than what you'd seen year to date in 2015?
Moshe, could you contribute to this?
Craig, can you repeat the question for me, please?
Yeah, the question was related to a comment that was made earlier on strength in advanced packaging with the Eagle system. And I think the statement was that some of the strength was due to just the secular shift from wire bonding. The question is that something that is increasingly a tailwind or accelerating as a tailwind as you look ahead, or is that something that's a steadier force?
No, it's actually accelerating. You know, the according to the data that we are collecting from market researchers, we see an increased demand, an increased trend towards from wire bonding to bumping. So actually, the way we see it is the Camtek will benefit from this trend in the future as well.
Okay, thanks for that, Moshe. And then lastly,
maybe I'm sorry, I would like maybe just to add one, because and we didn't mention it specifically, but when we talk about advanced packaging, you know, there are many applications. I think one of the applications that it was discussed in many magazines recently, talking about what we call integrated fan-out. So the idea is to place like a mix of chip, like memory, like logic, like passive, under one system in package, and to make all the connection with process and not with assembly. Now, many, I would say, companies, so front-end and also back-end, working on such solutions. Some of them in still R&D stage, but some of them definitely got qualification from their end user, and they start ramping up because they have to ship a lot of quantities next year. So I believe that we are deeply involved in most of such projects, and a decision that this specific design is going to move to production in the beginning of next year definitely affects our forecast and sales.
That's very helpful color, Rafi. Thank you. My last question, Moshe, after a very strong quarter for cash management, now what's the expectation for cash in the fourth quarter? Can it maintain current levels, or will you need to use some for working capital purposes and the first quarter's revenues?
Right. So third quarter was exceptionally high, some due to extremely good payment terms, and some was a catch-up from the first half of the year, where the cash was slightly weaker. As we are entering the fourth quarter and we see more demand and more requirements for working capital, we don't think that cash flow in the fourth quarter will be the same.
Thank you very much, guys.
The next question to Mark Astigarubia from Chardan Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the question. Congrats on the numbers. It's Mark Astigarubia from Chardan Capital. Can you please comment on the margins, the longer-term margin outlook? Is it possible to achieve a level of 8% or above going on this upward trend that you're reporting already?
It's really, you know, the margin is really above in the first element that affecting margin is obviously the gross margin. We don't see any major change as we enter 2016. We believe that mid-40s is still a good margin for Camtek. The other element that may be affecting operating expenses level is the litigation process with Rudolph. If we don't incur a lot of IP-related expenses, we believe that we will be able to improve operating margin towards 7 or 8% in 2016.
Great, thank you. Commenting on the outlook for the PCB segment, is it still around 35% in 2015? Is that breakup expected for next year? I'm just looking for, I guess, some incremental revenue margin that the new system of Griffon can bring onto the segment.
First of all, the PCB segment accounts for approximately 30% in 2015. We believe that this level of percentage will remain also in 2016. I don't think that there will be a significant contribution of the Griffon in 2016. At this point, we project that material sales will begin only in the second half of 2016. So as a result, there will be the contribution in general will be insignificant to the PCB portion. So I would say we look at $31-32 million of sales in the PCB next year.
Great, thank you. And the outlook for the semiconductor segment with regards to the lower forecast from, I guess, the market top, bearing any sort of impact for Camtek. Can you just speak to that in terms of, maybe visibility into the fourth quarter seasonality and going into your outlook for 2016, please?
So the way we currently look at, I think our guidance speaks for itself. We look at pretty similar level of revenues coming from the semiconductor space. We reported this quarter 18.8, and I believe that the number next quarter will be quite the same, between $18.5 to $19 million. We do have orders in hand for more systems. As we mentioned, and as Rafi mentioned earlier, the customization process this quarter takes longer, and we have more systems that require specific features that we are developing for customers. So some orders will basically spill over to the first quarter of 2016. We still don't have a good enough outlook visibility into the first quarter of 2016.
Okay, just lastly, with regards to Asia and sort of an outlook with what you're feeling, I mean, we're getting a lot of news, obviously, in the space with regards to some demand resumption for a lot of activity out of China. How does that impact you in terms of a macro look? Are you sort of insulated from that? Are you seeing any sort of upward trend for the quarter that we're in right now?
No, I don't think that we discussed with our direct customer. Okay, even they most of them do not really affect the macro economy talking and situation and. That's what we said all the time. We read all the newspaper. We understand what everything, talking about this. But since our visibility is few months ahead, and so we can get from customer what is the budget, backlog, orders, based on that, we can predict what is going to happen in the coming months. So right now, we feel comfortable. That's the reality.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
The next question is from Ava Horowitz of Old School Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rafi. I was in Los Angeles last year where I met you, and we discussed the Griffin, and you had said that the Griffin would start to take off in 2015. Coming to 2015, the beginning, you started to push it off towards the second half, talking about 30 machines that you could ship in the second half of 2015. Now we're in the end of 2015, and you've told us that you won't be shipping anything basically till 2016 at the end, second half of 2016. Could you maybe give us a better sense of what is going on here? Because I think without Griffin, I don't really see Camtek doing very much in terms of the valuation that Wall Street's willing to give it. And given the fact that there seems to be just a push-off after push-off after push-off, why do you have any confidence whatsoever that at the end of 2016, people are actually going to order this product? Thank you.
Yeah, this is a good question. But look, as I mentioned, Griffon is not just another piece of equipment. And it is a process. And even for us, we cannot predict everything. And when we get all this forecast and after we made few evaluation, we get feedback, and based on this, we said, okay, we have to do A, B, C, D. When we expand the install base and we see more customer, and then we go to more end user, we see demand. I just can give you some examples. This industry, unlike the semiconductor, it doesn't work on a very clear standard, under ITC number. So you get qualification, and we meet all these IPC UL. But many customers do not follow this specific standard. They do not follow. They use different chemicals. They use they cannot control heat. They do many things that you cannot predict because you go to the mainstream. You go to what you know from the standard from some customer. And then when you start installation, you find that there are more demand, more customer. So one way is to say, let's, I am not going to this specific segment. I get rid of this specific segment, and you start to shrink your potential market. So we right now try to struggle and to decide if to try to serve the all type of market, if try to focus on specific market. Moreover, if it was only between us and the PCB manufacturer, it was very easy because we know very well this industry. But the main problem that we have to convince their end user, and this is a very conservative industry, and it's not easily happen to convince them to use this process, although it's already approved. So, and we don't have direct connection with these end users. So we found that this takes more than we expected. This is why right now we push out. And I just have to be fair with all of you, Camtek is not a startup company that it can afford installing many systems and later on try to you know, maybe risk relationship with customers. We go to very old customers that they know Camtek, enjoy the product, the AI, and we don't want to spoil our relationship. So we prefer to slow down rather than to accelerate it and then have a lot of profit with customers. So this is exactly the situation right now. But we still, when you said why I feel so optimistic about this, because first of all, I understand very well the industry and the amount of application. And I know very well how difficult for the industry to meet the new specification, the new resolution, the new demand. It's almost impossible to do it in the current technology. So the digital printing definitely can answer to many applications, not only Soldamat and Legend. There are many other applications. And we know very well that our system can meet more than one application, maybe four, five, or six applications. Right now, we focus on one specific, it's Soldomat and Legend. And we have one customer that ships and deliver a finished PC board, and it feels very comfortable. We have to go with other customer and try to fill the demand, and hopefully we can do it. So I have no doubt about the technology and the product. I think what we cannot predict is if it takes a few weeks, few months. But I don't think it's more than 3 or 6 months to be totally ready with this. So we feel we are very close to make all this four installation very happy.
And okay, thank you, Rafi, for that overview. How many machines are in inventory right now? When we look at the inventory number on your balance sheet, how much of that is, how many machines is that including of the group?
Depending, okay, but I would say we are right now about four customers, two or three in demo centers. So it's right now about seven machines out of Israel or in Israel including demo. And we have about four or five machines ready for shipping. And the other are still are partial assembled. So this is right now the status of the machine.
Okay.
And when we get some qualification, when we pass satisfaction level of customer, we can move very quick to accelerate the sales.
Okay. And do you expect to get an order in the first half, or do you expect only the second half to get an order, and sort of the first half will just be coasting?
I can get about 2 to 4 additional orders, but for each order I know that I need to allocate R&D resources, and I'm not sure if I can do it. This is why we said, hold, don't give us right now order, give us a few weeks to try to fulfill some demand, and later on give us the order and we ship the machine. So order definitely we can get. But we don't want to make qualification too long. I think qualification should be 3 months to 6 months, not a year. So we don't want to start with too many machines with a long process of evaluation. So I believe that if we start to ship machine in 3 to 4 months from now, the qualification evaluation period will be much shorter.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Amit to go ahead with his concluding statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available on Camtek's website, www.co.il, beginning tomorrow. Mr. Amit, I see there is one more question. Would you like to take it?
Yeah.
Okay. Next question from Kasim Ibrahim. Please go ahead.
I am an individual investor. Can you shed some color on the litigation with Rudolph Technologies? What's going on there? I've been an investor in Camtek for about 2 years.
Moshe, do you want to?
Yeah. Let me address this question. Camtek is actually involved in two processes with Rudolph regarding two machines. One is the old platform, which is the Falcon. This is the ongoing litigation since 2005. The current status of this litigation is that Camtek has appealed to the Federal Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. last March on the Minnesota court decision to grant $14.5 million in monetary sanctions against Camtek. We believe that we have strong arguments with the federal court, and we believe that by the end of this process, Camtek will prevail. The other process is just the beginning of it. This relates to the new Eagle process, Eagle product line. We actually believe that there is no merit to the litigation. But as I said, we have just started the process in the last few months. So this is the current litigation process.
So is there a hearing scheduled for the first quarter of next year?
There are many small sub-processes throughout this legal process. Not sure that there's anything meaningful for investors at this point, except for the hearing of the appeal, which is not yet scheduled, but it's expected towards the mid 2016 year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Jeremy, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Okay, I would like to thank you for your continued interest in our business. We intend to present to investors and analysts at the Needham Growth Conference in January, and we look forward to seeing some of you there. To the rest of you, I look forward to talking with you again next quarter. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Camtek Third Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.